Hello, and welcome to this Overcoming Loss and Bereavement Depression Emotion Download. Emotion downloads are based on the Human Givens approach to mental health and healing, the newest and most radical school of psychology in 40 years. This rapidly expanding approach is UK-based and dates just from the mid-1990s. The Emotion audio series can complement your Human Givens therapy, but can also be used as part of a standalone self-help program. I am Andrew Richardson, and a director of the London Human Givens Centre. In this download, you will learn of the three factors which create and maintain virtually all depressions, including those precipitated by a serious loss. You will also be able to identify the importance of each of these as contributing to your continuing depression. And there is advice and tools and therapy to help you. Please ensure that when listening to the rest of this download, you are not operating machinery or driving or engaging in any other activity which requires your concentration. Depression is a word bandied about a lot, and many will talk of being depressed when just feeling down or blue. But those who have really experienced depression know in their bones that a depression is much more than this. And when the trigger is the death of a loved one who has been a vital part of your life, or the loss and ending of an important relationship, or of a job, or of a way of life, then the burden can be heavy to the point of being unsupportable. And the burden just persists beyond what seems reasonable, and beyond and much more than is normal. Well, does this talk to you? Can you recognize something there? The first of the three factors that create and maintain all depressions, and this includes depression that arises and extends from loss and bereavement, revolves around your sleeping. And by understanding this connection, you can also understand how the brain manufactures depression feelings. And you can then know what you can do immediately to reduce the brain's power to hurt you and weaken you. And you will realize that a depression is not genetic or an affliction of your brain, and that you can overcome it. You need to know a little about why you dream. And we dream for a very simple reason: to let go of the emotions that came up that day for us and that are still there at the end of the day, unresolved and incomplete and nagging away at us and filling us up and clogging us up. And by being able to let go of these emotions every night by dreaming, those vital emotional templates are kept in good working order for when we really need them next. And dreaming dissolves the strong, unresolved emotion of that day by acting the emotion out in our dreaming imagination. The effect is a little bit like a circle being completed. Just imagine for a moment that you were worried today about something, but then took action to resolve the worry, and so found that the worry feeling just disappeared. Then, your capacity to worry, which we all need to make sure we can guard ourselves against and prepare for potentially adverse future events, will be ready and waiting when next called upon. But what if you went to bed that night and the worry anxiety was still there? And how would it be if this was happening every day? That every day there seemed to be no way out, and so you were aroused and stressed and anxious and feeling worried every day. Well, in time you would find that you could not make use of your worry emotion. It would be a little like having to eat three-course dinners one after the other. You would fill up and eventually feel as if you would burst. And so to avoid this, we humans have evolved to dream. To act out a metaphorically similar completing experience and so let go of the emotion. Dreaming is your emotional flush toilet, so you're empty and alert for the next day. But dreaming takes up a lot of energy, and so you can be overloaded if you have to dream a lot, because you are worrying and ruminating and anxious all the time that day. And that is why depressed people will be woken up by a brain which can dream no more, in a state of exhaustion, with no energy or motivation. How are you when you wake up? Is the waking up time the worst part of the day for you? And of course, as you live with this loss every day, and are not finding a way out, and perhaps not believing that there is a way out, or that you sometimes feel that perhaps you don't want to find a way out, you may well be worrying and ruminating for large parts of every day, round and round, back and forth, resolving nothing and just banging your head time and again on the same questions, or going round and round the same circle as a hamster on its wheel. And we will dream much less of the essential slow-wave regenerating sleep when we worry a lot, because we are dreaming too much. And this is another reason why we can be exhausted by our nightly sleep rather than refreshed, and why it is that when overloaded by a grief that we are still looking for a way to move, that we are more vulnerable to physical wear and tear and aches and pains. It is actually quite easy to understand what is going on. We are attempting to dream more than we are capable of. And this exhausts us, damages our capacity to make and act on some of the essential decisions we have to make to get our essential emotional and physical needs met. And we find that our sleep leaves us tired rather than refreshed. And this can then become a vicious circle, spiraling downwards. And it is pretty clear also what we have to do to change this. The first step is to stop worrying, or to worry less, right now. To do whatever it takes, and however hard it seems at the beginning. And then find that even a day without worrying, or worrying less, is enough to improve sleep, and so wake up feeling a little better. And then each day can become a little easier, and you have a little more energy, and begin to see things differently, and find answers to those awful questions of loss and emptiness, and then acting upon those answers. At this moment, I would like you to come with me into a little relaxation, so that you can find it a little easier to imagine what you could do now in order to worry less each day. Despite the emptiness that is easily present, and so sleep better each day, and so wake up a little more refreshed for the next day. So just sit back in that chair, or lie back on that bed or sofa, and just notice the weight of your body resting and nestling into the softness of the chair or bed, or sensing a part or parts of your body against some hard surface. And as you do that, you could even now be aware of changes to that part of your body, which is a sign that you are beginning to relax or deepen in some way which is unique to you. And you can imagine how it is for you when you do begin to relax, or how it might be this time. Some people are aware that the rhythm of their breathing slows down, while others notice that their shoulders or arms or legs begin to feel a little different. And others can be aware of tensions lifting from their jaw or around their eyes or across their forehead or from the crown of their head. Where are you relaxing now? Or how aware of relaxing now? Or imagining how you might relax if you choose to do so at some unconscious level. And from this sense of sensing where you are right now, you can begin to let your imaginings wander. How you could begin to change something about how you lived out a typical day, just for the next few days. Or perhaps just pretend that it is worth doing. Or be curious to see what you notice. You could perhaps be seeing yourself preparing for a walk, going where you have been before, and notice things afresh. The buildings, the gardens, or the trees, and in a new way, like a small child in wonderment. Or go somewhere where you have never been, or rarely been before, to somewhere green, or by water, or where else? Or perhaps you see yourself visiting or calling a new acquaintance or an old friend that perhaps you have not spoken to for a while, and finding new conversations and activities to have. What could you talk about that would take you out of yourself? What might your friend be doing that could be of interest to talk about, or that would interest your friend? And it can really help just to think about the people in your life right now, those close to you, or not so close, or those you hardly know, and think about them. And what you could do to lift them or help them. It might surprise you to notice how much it helps. Or is there a job to be done in the house that you have been putting off? Painting a door, putting up a shelf, tidying a bedroom, clearing a cupboard, weeding that flower bed, sewing that shirt, or I wonder what it will be for you. Now, we all must eat every day, and you could, if you choose, prepare a meal that you might never have prepared before. Looking up the recipe, buying new ingredients and sauces, and really noticing how it might be to sit down and eat this gift. And who might enjoy sharing this gift? And are you noticing where you could eat a little better? Regular, nutritious meals, You know what I mean. Cutting down on sugar and saturated fats and processed food, and just enjoying something natural and fresh and new. Or you could begin to resume that exercise, ride that bike, go to the gym, get out that exercise video. What is arising in your mind's eye now? How easy might it be for you to do something different tomorrow? And then something different again for the day after. And the day after that. When might it be that you notice a lightening and a movement that tells you that you are beginning to act more and worry less and do things differently? And when the feelings of grief and loss arise and well up, then you could note that and say, I will grieve about that in my special grieving time. And perhaps this grieving time can be easily set up for a certain hour long time only at one time every day, or even 1 hour long time every week. And so in that time, the grieving can really help you and mark something special and even sacred. And you will grieve differently if you choose to. And when you are ready and see something clear and different that you will do, then just slowly open your eyes. So what is the second factor that will be keeping you in this grief and bereavement depression? Well, there will be the gap in your life from the loss which is persisting. And the gap is important and debilitating and persisting because the consequence is that for you, an essential human need or needs are now not being met properly. And of course, your loss may well be causing a further downward spiral towards a life where essential needs are even less well met. For as depression builds and capacities are reduced, it can be hard to see how to re-establish and regain a life that gets your essential human needs met in a balanced way. Now, I don't know whether your loss happened weeks ago, or months ago, or even years ago. And I cannot know, but you will know, just how the normal process of grieving is progressing for you. Four, it can sometimes be useful to see that there may be a process of grieving in terms of stages that are quite clear-cut, even though these stages may not be a smooth progression. And stages that take time to work through are normal, because for sure the shock of the loss that creates this gap in your life has to have time for you to adjust. And it will cause pain and unhappiness and a sense of loss. How could it be anything else? For a time. But what if you stay in this place of shock, no matter how hard you try to move? And the stages are, as set down in a number of places, as follows. And I am thinking particularly of the work of Kubler-Ross. First, there is shock, or the initial paralysis, followed by denial, or not facing up to what has happened, followed by anger and frustration, and then bargaining, which is seeking in vain for a way out or to escape. And then the final realization before the testing stage of looking for realistic solutions and changes before finally moving forward and learning the lessons. And typically a depression, by which I mean a real depression and more than unhappiness and shock, will come at the stage of the final realization. After the shock and the denial and the anger and the bargaining, and indeed that feeling of being low and hopeless and not knowing of a way forward, can be necessary before you begin to test and so move forward. And human givens can help you test and problem solve and move forward by the wisdom and the separation that it gives you. And so, often a vital step to moving out of a depression is to undertake an audit of how well you are meeting needs now, and to understand and see what the gap actually is that the loss has left, and also how the period of the grieving process and stages may have added to the gap of a lack of essential needs being met. And these are those essential human needs. Feeling safe. Having people who are important to you and to whom you are important. Having wider connections beyond your family and close friends. A sense of autonomy and control. Comfortable with your status in society and with your peers. A sense of competence and achievement. Getting your attention needs met, both giving and receiving. A place and space for privacy and reflection. Being stretched by how you live or the work that you do. Where is your life still working well, despite everything? And how are you successfully managing to do this? And just feel good about this. And where is there a lack? And is this the consequence of the loss? Or was it there before? Or has it arisen since? I will repeat that. Where is there a lack? And is this a consequence of the loss? Or was it there before? Or has it arisen since? And here are those needs again. Safety. Autonomy. Wider connections. Attention, both giving and receiving. That important person or people. Status. Achievement. Privacy. Being stretched and meaning. And what you may find is that by standing back and looking at your life in this different way, you see things differently and notice that if you can just work on one practical thing to make a change in the right direction, then a lot just falls into place. And you can see what it is you are now lacking, and where the gap is. But somehow, the gap is located in a different place. And though the loss was great, that you could begin to do something different, to make new contacts, develop new activities, and create new types of security and control, and to set aside a grieving time. And in doing this, you are activating an essential human capacity, which is to problem solve, which is not working, of course, when you worry and worry and are highly aroused and anxious. And I remember someone who had broken up from a relationship of many years, and she found that she doubted herself, and she did less and less until she began to see that right under her nose, there was an opportunity to explore the world in a different way. And that opportunity was there in the work she did, and over a not too long time, her life began to move in unexpected directions, and she just came out of her depression. And then there was someone else, an older lady whose husband had died after a happy and full marriage of over 30 years. And she decided to move after a time to be near her daughter. And this then opened up new opportunities to connect. And she had to take responsibilities for paying bills and managing her finances and her new house that was itself new for her. And this gave her confidence. And a man of a similar age who had lost his life of many years of work and family. And he found that he discovered a new skill and pleasure that he scarcely knew, of cooking and entertaining and preparing all kinds of new things. And from this beginning, he made a surprising and renewing rich life. We've looked at two factors that need to be tackled to relieve your depression. The first is to stop worrying and improve sleep. And the second is to get the balance of your life working again by looking at your essential needs and then practically how to get them moving in the right direction. And the third factor? Well, this is concerned with thinking styles and how you see the world and evaluate your experience and attach and tag powerful emotions to this. It is very easy, especially when there has been a significant loss, to slip unnoticed into ways of thinking and feeling which will keep you stuck. Think about it. You can be primed to see what is wrong rather than what is right, and notice when things don't work out well rather than when they do. So do you see couples when before you did not? Or children when before you did not? And successful careers when before you did not? This is part of what is called black and white thinking styles, or the three P's. The first P is permentalizing, which is when anything bad happens, you believe it will be permanent. And when this happens, you don't notice what is changing and realize that there is always change. And though this loss was great and difficult and perhaps awful, there will have been a lot that has continued to happen since that loss. So just notice what has changed for you. Yes, really take your attention to the changes. Who are you seeing now who is different, and how do you spend your days? Work, leisure, and other times. And see the journey you have been on and where have you moved. And understand that there will be further movement and change. And P is also for personal, which is when a bad thing happens, you believe it is only your fault and reflects your deficiencies. Now, guilt and personal responsibility to the point of apparent paralysis can blind you temporarily from your future and hide from you the capacity you have to move forward. There are many people who have discovered this from their own experiences, and there's also much research on this, that the important learnings we make arise from the challenging and difficult experiences we have. And there are countless examples of people who will say well after that event that it was the making of them, that they learnt something good and strong and resourceful and surprising about themselves and about the world and what is really important. And some researchers go even further, and they conclude from their examination of life stories and life experiences that the important lessons we all have to learn arise only from adversity and challenge. And I remember something that Joe Griffin said, one of the founders of Human Givens, when I asked him once, who were the most difficult clients he had to deal with? And his answer was immediate. It was the poor little rich kids who seem to have everything but have not discovered who they are and what they are capable of and what is really important. And so, what you might do now when you have a moment today, and then do it again tomorrow and the day after as well, and so do this for at least 3 times in a row, is just to write on a piece of paper whatever comes up about this event and loss. And take 20 minutes or so to write about this every day. And write freely, and just do it. And then notice what you find is the story that you can now tell about your life and the place of this event in your life. Perhaps when you have done this exercise, you can find a word or a phrase that gives you that precious perspective and allows you to realize that guilt and blame do not help, or feeling a victim does not help. But lessons learned and doing something different and better to make that difference, well, that will be the lasting memorial that you are looking for. And the last P is for pervasive, which is the idea that if something bad happens in one part of your life, then all other parts of your life will be affected. Which could be true in some way, but for sure will not really be true. Especially if you think about how broad is the life you lead. Yes, the life you still lead, or could lead quite easily again. The friends you have. The activities you engage in. Your health, good or bad in parts, or just average. How you entertain yourself. What you do. And so on. What are the parts of your life where this event is not reaching? See those parts. In a real sense, overcoming depression, including one with grief and loss very much part of it, is about getting your emotions working for you, rather than having them taking you over, and by looking outside rather than by being locked inside. And you will be finding that taking action on these 3 factors, sleep and worry, meeting needs, and thinking and feeling differently, even if you have to pretend in the beginning, is that you will be more in control and have a greater sense of calm. And all action and experiences and tools which enhance calm and peace and contentment in your life will have all kinds of beneficial knock-on effects. Calm comes from experiencing it and knowing that you can access a state of greater calm when you choose to. And it is often good to know what is going on for you, day by day. So scale how you feel, from 1 to 10. Doing it through the day with a notebook, noticing what helps, setting a baseline, and not worrying about slippage. It is temporary. And in the Anxiety Control It Now download, there are breathing exercises and other tools that will help you. And the Building Emotional Resources and Self-Confidence download will help you build a deeper sense of inner confidence in your capacities. And that too will calm you further. Goal setting to rebalance your life will lead you through a needs audit carefully and allow you to visualize successfully achieving goals that get an essential need met, and so reduce your worry and anxiety. So now relax again and rehearse and remind yourself of all that you have learnt and can now use to overcome this lost depression once and for all. Sit back and shut your eyes and allow yourself to easily be aware of what is happening in your body. And many people find that just to do this can open them to a slightly different sensation and feeling. And it could be that this is happening to you as you again listen to my voice becoming slower and more relaxing and are reminded at a deep unconscious level that you can choose to relax now. Feel a cool breeze washing over you, or a warm feeling of calmness, or that excitement of meeting a new friend, or reading a new book, or seeing a new TV show, or listening to a new music track. Which of these is creating that good, relaxing response in you? Or is there a different kind of good feeling which is just happening? Of contentment, of just being there, of excited anticipation, or a warming sense? And allow this feeling to deepen, like going down a ladder or down a path to a beautiful beach or entering into the depths of a deep, deep ocean where there is only silence and peace and distance from everything. And you could now be really deeply relaxed, or just feeling slightly calmer, or not yet consciously noticing much of a change. It doesn't really matter. Feel better that you have learnt something different about how your brain works, and that a depressed feeling is normal when you are under stress. And that you can choose now to do something different today or tomorrow to stop worrying and find that you sleep better. What are you visualizing that you will begin to do to take you out of yourself? And what else? And what could you do today, or tomorrow, or the day after that, which would give you something you absolutely need? Because just like a plant or a fish, you have essential needs. What can you do that will stretch you, increase your contact with other people? to do something that you know is worthwhile and will make a difference to someone. Or to find a place and time you can be private and laugh. And as you relax more, what is coming up that excites you? And that you can say to yourself, yes, I can do that, and I will. And when might you begin? Today? Or tomorrow? Or will you leave it for a few days? And if you choose, you may find that you can at this time go back to the experience of that loss. Or find you are ready now to have a new conversation with that person who is now lost, or who represents that loss for you in some big way. Be there now, and from a position of knowing that you know at some deep level, or not so deep level, that you are ready for a different conversation and a new experience, an understanding of something that happened, or with someone. What is happening? And what are you feeling that is different? And what are you saying? I am moving on. Thank you. And I love you. And appreciation. And lessons learned. Reassurance. And then turning away and moving forward. And as you move away and move on, you can play as if games. Just pretend that you have changed your way of seeing something, as if you have. You don't really have to change your mind, just pretend, but really try hard to make the pretending seem real. And notice how much this helps you. Or have that second thought. Because though you cannot always change the first thought that comes into your head, you can for sure change the second thought. And I am reminded of those wise words that a Cherokee Indian told his grandson. The young boy was troubled and confused by the thoughts running in his head. And so the wise grandfather reminded the young boy that we all have two wolves fighting inside our head. One wolf is negative and guilty and pessimistic and hopeless of spirit. And the other is positive and generous and optimistic and expansive. And the next day, the young boy, who had been living with this new idea all night, asked his grandfather, "Well, grandfather, which wolf wins?" And his grandfather replied, "Why, it is the one you feed." In a few moments, when you drift up and awaken, it may be interesting for you to know that in that state of mind, where thoughts drift by like dreams, they enter awareness for a time, while some are left behind to be used later. And other thoughts can become distant, and the experience can seem far away, as your unconscious mind protects your conscious mind and leaves those things behind forgotten, but remembered too. And times change, so you can know what a trance it's been when you begin to know that what seems to take a short time turns out to have been a long time, or what seems a long time was really no time at all. In a moment, I will count back down so that you can slowly begin to come back to the room, alert and aware. 5. Begin to be aware of your body differently. 4. Gently returning to the here and now and feeling yourself rising to the surface. 3. Becoming more alert, almost without noticing. 2. Getting ready to open those eyes. 1. Opening those eyes now. And make sure that you are fully alert before driving or operating any machinery. I do hope you found real value and insight from this Overcoming Loss and Bereavement, Depression, Emotion Downloads audio session. And please listen to it often, perhaps every day for a few days, so that it will really sink in. For more information, visit londonhumangivens.com. And from there, you can access the official Human Given sites, including useful and wide-ranging publications. And read the best-selling self-help book, How to Lift Depression Fast, by Joe Griffin and Ivan Terrell, the founders and still the main teachers of the Human Givens approach. I am Andrew Richardson, and thank you.